These are really Paul's closing words to Timothy, just encouraging him. And tonight we're going to look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul is at the end of his life and he looks around. He looks at his present situation. He looks back at his whole life. He reflects on it and then he looks, 2 Timothy, that's okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Then he looks ahead at what awaits him in eternity. So it's really simple. Past, present, and future. And really, he's at the end of his life, so it's really fitting that he does this. But for us, tonight, it's fitting that we can, there's a lot that we can take from this, a lot that we can apply to our lives right now. And I would challenge you, it's been a challenge to me, I want to challenge you to look around at your present situation. And then look back at your life, right, from starting today. And then look forward and see what God can do. So let's pray and ask God to do all that tonight. Lord, we pray that you would help us to look around and look back and look forward. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy that allows us to just start anew, afresh today. And we pray that you would speak to us and that we would receive your word and apply it, not just let it sit there, but let it grow in our hearts and have it produce fruit, Lord, we pray. We thank you for who you are and that you can do this. You can transform us and renew us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. We're going to pause here. He looks at his present situation, and he says, this is what's going on right now. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and my time of departure is at hand. He's now ready to be poured out as a drink offering. And I did a little studying on drink offering. We're not going to go into it tonight, but there's a lot to be learned. It's in Leviticus 23, and we're not going to talk about it tonight. But what we are going to talk about is we were reading the Bible this week, and there's a portion, I've shared this before, there's a portion of the Old Testament that we read, and then Psalms, and then Proverbs, and then the New Testament. And God's word speaks. And we were in the Old Testament, it's Moses and the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. And then in the New Testament, it's Jesus talking, and he says all the Ten Commandments are summed up in these two. And it says to love God with all your heart and love others as with all that you have and all your might. Yeah. So that's what I get as a drink offering, to be poured out first to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's turn there just to read it from the Bible. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Just a few books back. This is also Paul writing. He says, I beseech you therefore, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So first, Paul's saying he's being poured out as a burnt offering, and that's first to God, and the same for us, goes for us. As we are poured out as an offering, we present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, and we sacrifice ourselves. And we say, God, you have all of me. And so we can prove what God's will is in our life. and then to others. As we love God first and then to others to be poured out. And this is where it gets challenging. Now we can, God is all loving, and it's, I find it personally easier to give myself fully to God, but then when it comes to others, well, they hurt me back, and there's relationships, and they're sinners, and all that. Yeah, I hurt them, absolutely, and it goes both ways, absolutely, and we're not perfect, and so here's where the rubber meets the road, and we pour out ourselves to others, but God still calls us to do it, to love, to put ourselves aside and pour ourselves out as a burnt offering. In Philippians, I want you to turn there to Philippians 2, verse 17. Again, this is Paul. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I hope you find it there. Philippians 2, verses 17 and 18. Here Paul says it again. It's relating specifically to pouring yourselves out for others. Verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So there is true joy when we do that, and God is pleased by it. In the sacrifices, it says, the drink offering was pouring wine on the fire and having be consumed, and that sweet smell to go up to God, and that's what we are when we pour ourselves out to God. And so the question is, are we doing that? Are we pouring ourselves out, you know, whatever's inside of us, just pouring ourselves to God and saying, God, all I have is yours, and use me and take all of me, and then pouring ourselves out to others, loving others. There's some nights I come home from work and at the end of the night I'm like, we didn't do anything I wanted to do. But that's usually the most successful nights, is I lay down my rights and we lay down ourselves and we love one another. It means there's good going on there. So Paul was doing it. Our question is, are we doing it? God's calling us to that. The end of this verse. And the time of my departure is at hand. There's also a lot in here as well. Time of my departure is at hand. Departure can have three definitions here. And it's basically, the general definition of it is an untying. And I found this intriguing. But an untying. Departure. Untying. Okay, how does this all work together? It's like untying a ship from the, you know, you have to put a ship that's in the water, you have to tie it to a dock. It's going to go away. So it's like untying that ship and going out on sea. I'll share all the definitions and we'll talk a little bit more about them. The second one is taking down of a tent. And now this was fitting for Paul. Like an untying, you know, on the big tents that you see, there's all these ropes that are kind of holding them all down. And Paul was a tent maker, and so it's fitting that he uses this word. And then unloosing of a prisoner. This was also relating to Paul, that he was in prison here, and it's like the freedom of being let go, untying your chains, if you will. And letting go of your chains. Now, it's different than, you know, it says the church will depart from the earth and they'll be caught up with God in the air. That's a whole different word that has a whole different meaning. But this one, untying. And so when I see this, I see there's a lot for us here. First of all, the untying of a ship and setting sail. Again, this was fitting for Paul. He's at the end of his life, and he's going to go be with the Lord. But now for us, you know, every day is a new day, and God has truly an adventure for us. He has a whole new adventure waiting for us, and that He wants us to experience. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to experience Him. And He has a job for us to do, like we learned last week. We have a ministry, we have a gift, and we have a ministry that we are to fulfill. And we are to be engaged in. And so here we are, and we're leaving back the world. We're leaving back all that we knew, all that was comfortable to us, and we're going on this journey into the sea. And it's a scary place, though. I will give you that. It's scary, you know, to be on land versus being on sea. There's a lot more danger that can happen out on sea. But God is there. The disciples did this. Jesus instructed the disciples to go out, go in the boat and go on the other side. And he said, "I'll come be with you later." And then they ran into this storm out in the sea, and then he appeared to them and came to them and said, "Peace be still." He calmed the sea and the storm. So he's there with us. He's ready to help us. He brings peace. The taking down of a tent. This speaks to me, taking down of our house and everything that it's in it. Jesus said, we've been reading this week and in the previous week, Jesus said that, you know, those who follow me are going to have to take up their cross daily and follow me. And there's some stuff we have to pack up, if you will. There's some stuff that we don't want to hold on to. There's some stuff we want to get rid of. It's not profitable for us anymore. And we got to leave it behind. And we got to pack up that tent and take it down and follow Jesus. Jesus also was speaking to a man. He said, you know, "I've followed everything you said, Jesus. What else is there? How can I follow you?" And he said, "Go sell all you have and give to the poor." And he said, "You know, I can't do that. You're asking too much there." So are we there where we can give it all up and lay it all down for Jesus? Unloosing of a prisoner. This really speaks of being free from all of our sin, everything that's within us that wants to pull us down and that we choose to go against God and go against His ways. The Bible says that there's a struggle within us. Our flesh wants to do sin and the spirit wants to follow God's ways, but there's freedom for us from sin and God has it for us. We got to choose Him and choose freedom, though. And we can be free from all that sin. We're also reading, you know, we're right with the children of Israel and Moses and departing from Egypt. So it's that same untying, departing from Egypt. And all these apply where they're starting a new adventure and God's leading them. And it's this road and they sin and all this. Taking down a tent, they left, you know, they left a bunch behind. They plundered a lot. They took gold and everything with them. God ordained that and set all that up. But, you know, whenever we hear of Egypt in the Bible, it speaks of sin. And they left all that. They left all the sin. There was a mixed multitude, and they were bringing in sin and to get rid of them. But anyway, to leave that sin behind and to go forward. And the cool thing about it is, for us today, you know, we can choose all this right now, today. As we look around at our current situation, we can be free and we can start afresh. God's mercies are new every morning, right? And we can let it all go, leave it all behind, and you know, all the songs were fitting. And then be free from sin to choose right today and ask for God's help to go on. So there's just a lot jam packed in this little verse that God has for us. Moving on, though, he looks back in verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Again, we could have a whole sermon on this, but we're going to just go through it. Three pictures, really, here for us. Who can who can share? What's the first one here? I have fought the good fight. Picture of what? Like a boxer? Yeah. A boxer, soldier. That's the first picture. We see that we learned, this is kind of review too of the book. It says in chapter 2, verse 2, we read it, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, we read it last week, and it's coming back again here to us. Let's get it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Okay. I was reading verse 2 and it wasn't making sense. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fighting, enduring hardship. No one is entangled in warfare. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself. Again, leaving the things behind, not caring about all that the world has or all the sin that's in the world. We've learned here before, and we'll just review it really quickly. There's three enemies, really. There's Satan, obviously the ultimate enemy. He's real and working against God. There's the world and all that's in there. And then there's our own flesh that we have to fight against. So there's a lot to fight. We learned the three stances of a soldier, basically, to pursue, to fight, to engage. But then there's also just standing. And just standing our ground, not letting the attack come against us. And then there's also fleeing. You know, if it's intense sin and intense pressure, intense temptation, get out of there. Run away. And these are all good soldiers. There's also a balance here. And let me explain that, you know, physically, Jesus says, if someone strikes you, what do you got to do? He says, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek and say, you know, strike me again. So there's also that side to it where, and that's you can fight in love. But you can also fight in truth. We've been learning about this week in our practical lives to, there's a lot of lies that, you know, Satan implants a lot of lies. You got to fight through with that truth and keep revealing it, keep bringing it out. There's also the point of fighting, which we've been learning as well, is the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. And this is new to me, and I'm just starting to comprehend it. I don't know how to put it in words, but he fights for you. There was a story that we read this week. Moses, they were to fight against the Amalekites. And God said to Moses, lift your hands on high and praise me with all you have. And as long as his hands were up high, the children of Israel were winning. And then he let down his hands. He's like, I'm getting tired. His hands got heavy, they said. You know, if you hold your hands up, even if or out to the side, it'll start feeling really heavy right here. But, you know, God would give them the victory. And so we had a couple friends. You know, if it takes a couple friends helping you to fight this sacrifice of praise, if you will, that we hear about in the New Testament. And the Lord fights for you. You know, if you're just praising him and doing what you're supposed to do, living holy and righteous and pure and just giving him all you have, then he's going to fight for you. Second one, I have finished the race. What is the picture here? Athlete. I have finished the race. Again, a review, in chapter 2, verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We're supposed to play the game by the rules, the Bible. Our new life in Christ, it's all spelled out for us here. And as we learn the Bible and we learn God and learn who he is, he tells us. And we need to stick to these rules and go by them. we've been learning on Wednesday night, and Pastor Mike said it best when he said, in 2010, let's win. Let's win in 2010. Let's compete. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate on all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, here it is again, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And then Hebrews, really quickly, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily depart from it, so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, like we sang, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus went before us. Let's look to him, follow him. Compete in this, run well. Okay, back to Timothy, if I can find it. The third one. This is a tricky one. I have kept the faith. Who's going to get it? Who knows what this is a picture of? Say that again? No? Good try, though. No? Yeah, it could mean, that's a good one, I didn't think of it that way. The words here really imply steward, like almost a banker, someone who's given money and entrusted with something and they need to utilize it and use it. And here, you know, God's given us each a measure of faith, and what are we going to do with it? How are we going to live our life? How are we going to invest it? There's the story of that Jesus said of the steward, and they gave him each money, and one hid it, and one, I forget what the other one did, I didn't review this, and the other, you know, invested it, and he said, great, here's more, and so we need to invest our lives in what God's all about and in faith. Verse 8, finally, he looks forward, and he says, you know, I've looked around and looked back, but now what's ahead is the best. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Just to be looking to him and waiting for him and wanting his appearing to come. And we receive the crown of righteousness. It's not a perishable crown like we read, but an imperishable. It'll last forever. It'll last all of eternity, and we'll likely give it right back to the Lord. So, he's righteous judge, and he fights for us, and then he judges us. And that's a serious thing. But we want to please him and run. So, with all that said, this is Paul, where he's at, but where are you at? Where am I at? We're just wrapping up here. With all that said, where are we tonight, and where are you? Where am I? As I look around as I look back on my life and as I look ahead, there's all this truth and reality for us here today. So I pray this speaks to you. It has spoken to me, and I pray that God uses it for His glory and that we can go forward. That's the exciting thing. If you're just starting on your journey, you know, you look back and, you know, I don't want all that. I want what Jesus has. And if you've known Christ for a while and you've known the Lord, you know, start afresh again today and make it true and make it real. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you would accomplish this in our life, that we can say this at the end of our life looking back, that we've kept the faith and we've fought for the right and we've been a good steward, that we've done your will, Lord. I pray that you would help us and teach us and grow us. Show us the next area of where you want to attack and what you want to sin you want to free us from. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be done. We thank you for working and that you're powerful, you're real, you're moving in us. And give us specific wisdom and direction as we move forward and we go out in faith and we in wisdom and we live for you and fulfill the call that you have on your life and make full proof of our ministry. We just soak all this up, Lord. We thank you for it, all this wisdom here and your word. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.